This feature of the Science News Radio Network is coming to you from our studios in Dallas, Texas. Science News is on the air right now.
This is the promise of tomorrow, where people and industry keep up with the business of emerging and nanotechnologies. The fields covered in this series of programs will include energy, defense, aerospace, medicine, semiconductors, and more. For the next hour, Colonel Mason will introduce his experts, and you'll be on the cutting edge of the promise of tomorrow.
So glad to have you back with us as we explore the exciting world of the business of emerging science, nanotechnology, and open innovation. Those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online and webcast at promiseoftomorrow.biz. Exciting show today. We're going to visit the Den of Strangers, get more wisdom from someone a lot of us never heard of, visit our fountain of useless information we have here on the set in the second half of the program, and of course at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. Right now, though, to tell us about the lineup for today's show, here is Jack Bishop.
It's the promise of tomorrow, and this is the Science News Network. I'm Jack Bishop, and joining us right now is Dr. Oscar Garcia, professor of electrical engineering at the University of North Texas in Denton. We're going to talk about MetroCon. Doctor, appreciate you spending this time with us. For the uninitiated, tell us what MetroCon is.
MetroCon is an annual conference that we have in Arlington, and it's around October the 2nd this year. We have it every year, and it's based on the Institute of Electric and Electronic Engineers area members who attend and have different topics of electrical engineering import, and we discuss and talk about the new technologies.
Now, how long has MetroCon been around? And tell us about the IEEE also.
Okay, I can tell you probably a lot about IEEE. I was in the board of directors for a while. MetroCon has been at least 20 years, 25, I believe, even before I came to the area. MetroCon occurs in different metropolitan areas, and of course the Fort Worth Arlington group and the area of North Texas has several MetroCons. Ours is in the Arlington area, and it's supported very nicely by local industries. Otherwise, we couldn't do it. They actually are sponsors. In particular, Lockheed Martin is one of the major sponsors. The University of North Texas is also a sponsor, and so is the University of Texas at Arlington. So it's an area get-together of technology people communicating with each other and telling each other what is the latest and what they have accomplished.
Now, for the uninitiated like myself, people who say, well, this is all well and good, it sounds like it's just another conference of people in a specific field, what are some of the things that we should be aware of that MetroCon brings forth?
Well, it makes you look at in many ways to the future, Jack. In particular, we have my track. I'm in charge of a track. We have several tracks, but my track is cutting edge technologies, and the cutting edge. We have several topics. For example, we have a topic of micro robots in general, and then we have the topic of decision making in complex control such as airports or what happens in the cockpit, for example, in making decisions when you have partial information, let's say, about the weather. So decision making in uncertainty is another topic. And then we have three speakers who are going to talk about security. One of them is going to talk about security in the cloud. The cloud is a new development of the internet in which you use it as a repository and many other ways. And security in the communications by checking on the typing characteristics of a caller. Let's suppose that you call to the bank and you want to make a transaction electronically. Your typing can be checked to authenticate that you are you.
Ah.
And yes, and that is is used by many banks. It's not particularly well known popularly, but technically it is. There is a fellow by the name of Vir Foha from Louisiana Tech who is an international expert in that area, and he's going to be talking to us. And then we have the question of when you are hacked, how you find out what damage was done, if any, what was taken. So there are two aspects. There is the question of security from a legal point of view, and we're going to cover, we have a professor at UNT, Hassan Takabi, who is going to talk about it, and we have a national speaker of the IEEE Computer Society by the name of George Preller, and George is going to talk about how to do the analysis of what has happened before through an attack, and what can you do to repair the damage. So we have a variety of topics that are not only current, but also future-oriented.
Security is the new hot topic, is it not?
Absolutely. And as a matter of fact, I think that security is the one thing that might hold back progress, because in the internet, if we don't do better in security, we are going to have a situation where people will not trust what comes out of the internet, and we are using more and more connectivity to different devices, and the result is that we are trusting the connectivity, and the connectivity allows penetration if you don't have enough protection. So as a matter of fact, we have now spawned a new industry, which is the industry of security of your intellectual property or your personal identity.
Now, it used to be, for those of us who were, you know, just out here using the internet and using our computers, we worried about somebody hacking into our system and getting the information on who we are and what we do and where we bank and things like that. But the overall and overarching thing about internet security is so much commerce, so much governmental activity, so much just running of our day-to-day lives for municipalities are now on computers and on the internet. Am I right about that? And assuming that
you're absolutely right. Not only is the way we are doing it, but there are people who trust their front lock of their house to the electronic in your cell phone, and they don't. I don't know whether they realize it that whenever they transmit, that transmission can be picked up. Now, the transmission is most often encrypted, so it's not so obvious that anybody can do it, but somebody who knows how to do the decryption can do it, and there are many possibilities that is not secure. And,
what?
And there are things like people have their coffee pots electronically connected to turn on. So we're connecting all kinds of devices, and this is going to continue.
And it seems as if every few weeks we hear of another cyber attack or worm or virus that is getting out there, and we don't hear an awful lot about how countries try to cyber attack each other.
There is not every week, Jack. It's every day. Every time you get, or I would say not necessarily every time, most of the time when you get some update is because they have found a flaw that allows the penetration in whatever software you are updating. Most of the updates have to do, in my opinion, with security. At times they don't tell you that it is security, and they just say an update. And every manufacturer of some software keeps an eye on the question of security. So it is a problem, and it is a problem that needs to be addressed. As far as I'm concerned, it's one of the major top problems that we have to work on, particularly people in technology who are oriented to the future of the future development of the internet.
I want to tell everybody this is The Promise of Tomorrow on the Science News Network. We're spending some time talking with Dr. Oscar Garcia about MetroCon coming up once again in Arlington. It's October, right?
October the 2nd.
And it's going to be held where in Arlington?
At the Arlington Convention Center.
Now, you're going to have all these top minds there and going back and forth with information for each other. If I were to be, say, a little... We're talking about security, and I want to say this kind of carefully. If I were to be a little bug in the room, what should I be listening for? What will be the hot topic outside of security?
I would say that there are many. In particular, for example, the issue of control of aircraft. In aircraft traffic is increasing. We have a presentation by a professor at UNT named Yang Wan, W-A-N, and Yang Wan is presenting a decision-making approach that is scientifically based in conditions that involve uncertainty, and the net is that is applicable to network traffic. There is applicable to aircraft control in the cockpit and in the tower, control tower, and is scientifically based to make the best decision in circumstances where you have you're not too sure of what's coming on. So that, to me, given the increase in aircraft traffic and all the possibilities that may provide uncertain circumstances, that's a very important topic.
And the first thing that comes to my mind when you talk about air traffic and airplane security has would be the recent Malaysian flight that just disappeared. Here we are still talking about that.
Yes.
And some of the technologies that will be discussed at MetroCon might have direct implications for that kind of situation in the future.
Well, as a matter of fact, some of it, from a different point of view, has been used for in trying to estimate the area in which the plane may have gone down. That's a typical uncertainty situation in which you have a number of parameters that you are not sure of. So you make estimates, and they are probabilistic estimates based on whatever previous experience you have had in similar cases. So it's not exactly what we are presenting, but is not unrelated basically to the same decision making under uncertainty.
And this is the kind of information that gets presented at a program like MetroCon.
Correct.
When we talk about, and I'm going to stick with this thing about security for just another minute or so.
Yes?
I've always wanted to ask somebody with your background, why, other than financial gain, why is it that people, and I'm thinking about that 16-year-old kid down in the basement at his mom's house, maybe he's older than 16, why is it people want to hack into other people's systems unless it is for financial gain?
I think there are many, many different people with different background and different egos. Sometimes, you know, the hackers hack sometimes each other, and they are very proud of their abilities.
Sort of a game of chess being played.
more than chess, I think it is an ego situation. There was there is a story of of a very prolific hacker who called himself king of the hackers, and others challenged him, and he started hacking all the others.
Just to show that he could do it. I once read that there was a young guy, his thing was hacking into government computers, just to show once again that he could do
it. Exactly, and there are people who do not realize that they find a flaw or a penetration way, and they actually are doing damage in which they should actually make whoever originated the flaw and let them know that it's flawed, and they go and are very proud that they found this way of hacking, and the major thing is they are exercising their ego, mm-hmm. rather than doing some good for the community. And this is what we try to teach our students, that the community is of value and that the future of the community needs to be improved by helping each other.
You know, Doctor, we even did an interview with someone on the topic of ethical hacking, where people were being hired by companies and software developers to attempt to find these flaws.
Definitely, there is hacking that is intended to improve the reliability and the security of the software. And sometimes there are the approaches which are very technically sound of going through the red team and the blue team and trying to find out weaknesses in the software.
Well, I've got to say that as my mother told me more than 40 years ago when I was a young guy, she said, you ought to get into computers because it's the future. It's the future. We've been spending some time talking with Dr. Oscar Garcia of UNT and talking about MetroCon. Once again, when is MetroCon coming up?
It's October the 2nd at Arlington Convention Center, and it is a technical conference of electrical engineers and people who are in the industry, software, manufacturing, and in general anything that is modern technology.
And a lot of businesses will be participating as sponsors of
MetroCon. We have students making presentations. We have exhibits from many companies. And in general, it's a technical communications but also a business promotion. And we try to get everybody involved, and we have time to talk to each other and to talk to the industry. So it's more than just presentations. There are hardware demonstrations. We even have, Jack, that should be interesting, a hackathon, which is a way of doing hacking, but in a controlled environment.
Well, Doctor, it sounds more than just interesting. It sounds fascinating. Our guest on The Promise of Tomorrow has been Dr. Oscar Garcia from UNT, and we've been talking about security on the Internet and about MetroCon coming up in October. Doctor, we'll have to get you back soon for an update.
I'll be glad to, Jack.
In science news, Duke University engineers have devised a way to improve the efficiency of the devices that demolish kidney stones using focused shockwaves. Now, after decades of research, all it took was cutting a groove near the perimeter of the shockwave focusing lens and changing its curvature. The incidence of kidney stones in the U.S. has more than doubled during the past two decades, due at least in part to the expanding waistline of our citizens. The condition also has been linked to hot, humid climates and high levels of stress, a combination of living conditions that seems to have led to an increase in kidney stone rates of veterans returning home from Iraq and Afghanistan. An electrohydraulic shockwave generator used in the past was replaced by an electromagnet model that is more powerful, more reliable, and more consistent. The new design made the devices more convenient and comfortable to use, but reduced the effectiveness of the treatment. After years of research, they found an answer. The solution was to cut a groove near the perimeter of the backside of the lens and change its geometry. This realigned the device's focal point and optimized the pressure distribution with a broad focal width and lower peak pressure. It also allowed more captivation bubbles to form around the targeted stone instead of the surrounding tissue.
Okay, as we walk to the break at the half hour, we're going to pause at the door of the Den of Strangers, where we keep locked away all of the wisdom of mankind. In the Den of Strangers, will we meet today?
Supreme Court Justice William O. Douglas, as nightfall does not come all at once, neither does oppression. In both instances, there is twilight when everything remains seemingly unchanged. And it is in such twilight that we all must be aware of change in the air, however slight, lest we become unwitting victims of the darkness.